Pro Football Weekly podcast is back. Thanks so much for being with us this week. It's Arthur Arkish and Eric Edholm.
Hey,
and this is a special show, Eric. It's Christmas morning. It's Kwanzaa time, Hanukkah, whatever you refer to. Week one of the NFL is here. How excited are you?
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm, you know, no more speculating. Well, of course, there'll be plenty of that. But still, like, the games are in front of us. We get the opener. We get this weekend's games. It's going to be fun. And the Monday night doubleheader. It's always a sort of an extra treat, even if I can stay awake through the third quarter.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. It is nice after, you know, it's been a long offseason and preseason of talking about sort of a lot of imaginary stuff. And as Eric said, speculation. So now we get to the real fun. Let's get right to it. There's a we're going to hear about the Zeke Elliott restraining order by Friday, but we're taping here on Thursday. Guys, we're not really going to discuss it that much. We'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. And any other pressing news we should get to, or should we just jump right into previews?
Yeah, I mean, with Elliott, I think it's funny because they say, okay, Henderson didn't rule in time. We'll give him the competitive ruling as far as giving him allowing him to play this weekend. You can't tell me the TV ratings didn't play into this just a wee bit. Giants game, it's the big game on NBC. So yeah, it's gonna be fascinating to see whether this plays out quickly or whether it lasts till next year. We got plenty of time to discuss it.
Yeah, I'm sure the NFL is super bummed out to have Zeke Elliott in there for that rivalry game. I guess we can start right there, though, Eric. I had written this week that the two forms of kryptonite for the Cowboys were the Cowboys and the Giants, the one team was able to stop Dallas before January last year. Will Dallas have found some solutions? As you mentioned, they will have Zeke Elliott at least out of the gate.
Yeah, in the first game last year, you know, Dak Prescott left some plays out there. But what's interesting, I watched that game recently, and they were giving him chances to go win it. So even as early as week one, they knew he had something special. The Giants made enough plays. They stopped him at the end there in that opener last year. This year, obviously, we think the Giants defense could be really good. I mean, there's elements of it that are great.
Yep.
And then does Prescott feel the pressure to be more of the guy? Even though he's, you know, Elliott's playing in this one, does he feel that pressure to be that Super Bowl level quarterback? And do they have enough playmakers outside of Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley and the like?
Yeah, it's good questions for sure. It feels like if ever there was a guy that maybe wasn't going to feel the pressure, Dak at least plays it off that way. I don't know if that'll be the case, but man, just coming off that just miraculous rookie season, excited to see what he does for an encore. Excited, maybe a bit anxious, scared to see what Rod Marinelli has to work with on defense with the Cowboys. I mean, it was smoke and mirrors last year, and just great coordinating from him. Can he do it again with the lack of talent that they seemingly have, or at least guys ready to contribute right away?
Yeah, they were great at not allowing points last year most of the time, and
stopping the run.
Yeah, the run game was huge. Now injuries, suspensions, you know, losing a large number of guys in the secondary, even if some of them were replaceable, you know, they're folding in a lot of young faces. So this is a scheme that can be picked up pretty quickly, but to be executed well is different, and it's going to take them a little while. I don't think they're going to be that great defensively. That's just my prediction. Technically, they should get better as the season goes on, as the guys get healthy, they get players back from suspension, and everybody kind of fits into their roles. Early on, though, could be a little bit of an adventure.
What's fair to expect from Jalen Smith, and what are the Cowboys unfortunately expecting because of some of the other shortcomings that they have to deal with?
You know, it's easy to watch him out there and get excited and say he's back, everything's fine. He was a tremendous playmaker, as you know, before that Fiesta Bowl, but just I hope they don't put too much on his plate and he suffers a setback. It's just a nightmare for both sides. So you hope that there is some sort of limitation on what he can do out there.
How does Brandon Marshall fit in alongside OBJ and with Eli Manning? What do you anticipate? And Evan Ingram, of course, coming in too. I don't know if it'll matter if they don't have a run game and an offensive line, but man, that passing game has to be as talented as any in the league.
Yeah, you stole a little bit of my thunder there with the offensive line. That worries me. That group is a little scary right now.
Yep.
And Eric Flowers and all these guys that they don't know they can count on up front. Maybe Paul Perkins can be a good, you know, the home run hitter who hits 220, you know, and he's not going to be great down to down, series to series, but every now and then can spring a big play with, you know, four pass catchers on the field drawing coverage away. So, yeah, Ingram I like as a seam guy, red zone guy. OBJ is going to do what he does. Brandon Marshall, I don't know. I mean, he's still a really good football player and a physical guy. I mean, it's so hard to know if he'll accept this role and be good with it.
Right. And a bit of an erratic quarterback in Eli Manning. I mean, I think that's probably even putting it nicely. A two-time Super Bowl winner, but also not the most consistent guy. And we've seen at times Brandon Marshall has struggled to deal with that in his quarterbacking wide receiver relationships in the past. Some other games we want to get to. This is Arthur Arkush and Eric at Home on the Pro Football Weekly podcast. Make sure you are subscribed over at iTunes and leave us a rating and a review while you're there. Oakland heading into Tennessee has to be one of the more interesting week one matchups. Two sexy potential conference champion picks. Before we get there, though, Eric, just quickly, you have the Houston Texans going to the Super Bowl, I believe, Arthur, according to a story at Pro Football Weekly on Thursday. And I only bring it up because, of course, the Texans edged past the Titans last year and then just absolutely destroyed Connor Cook in the playoffs before they ran into a buzzsaw in Foxborough. So let's just hit quickly. What do you expect out of Tom Savage and Blake Bortles in that Jaguars-Houston game? It's going to be emotional taking place after the carnage and the devastation Hurricane Harvey left.
I think, NRG Stadium will be a special place on Sunday, and the emotion there will be crazy. And J.J. Watt, what is he up to, $28 million now raised for the area? I mean, just, he's your Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner. Sorry to spoil it, NFL, but can't really see him going any other direction. And then he's back. Oh, by the way, he's going to play football, which is great. So a great defense gets even better. They lose A.J. Boye, but in this game against Blake Bortles and company, it's not going to matter. They're going to blow them out on Sunday, my prediction. And in general, I like the Texans. I obviously realize, they were 9-7 with bad quarterback play and bad special teams. So imagine what can happen if they stabilize those areas. I just think that's part of it. Part of it being that they seem to have a formula that's going to give the Patriots a little trouble in the playoffs. So I realize it's a stretch. I'm willing to put myself out there a little.
Well, you could have went chalk like Hub and I and say the Packers and the Patriots meet and the Patriots win again.
You guys might be right, though.
That's the thing, it won't be as fun as if you happen to. And Eric does have Houston falling to Seattle in the Super Bowl. Make sure you check out all our predictions at ProFootballWeekly.com. All right, what about that Oakland-Tennessee game? It's kind of the broken leg bowl, the return of the
Good
guys
point.
Coming off the broken legs, two dominating offensive lines that return intact, and just a lot of excitement with these two young ascending football teams.
I want to see A, Marshawn Lynch run the football, and B, Jay Cutler as an announcer. I mean, that's the other aspect. You got excitement in the booth. You got two teams that a lot of people think are in that chic, sexy, next wave kind of teams. Nashville hasn't seen a lot of excitement in recent years, but it is now kind of one of the hubs of the NFL on Sunday. So fascinating game. Is either defense up to the challenge? Is a former Jaguars head coach, because there's one on each sideline, going to be good at winning football games this year? I don't know. Both teams fascinate me. I'm just a little leery of both big picture, but I think they're both really talented.
All right, now is Cutler getting a break because Miami's not playing? Is it Tony Romo in the booth or no? Cutler originally ticketed for the booth Sunday?
I think you're right. I think they may have made that switch. I'm not sure.
We don't want to make our listeners' heads explode. So, yes, I'm just just adding that or a little bit of clarity. Yeah, I agree, though. The Oakland defense is very concerning to me. I think we hit on this on the podcast a couple weeks ago. And Tennessee's new-look secondary, will it be up to the challenge right away against Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree and all those Raiders weapons? This one could have a lot of points, I would think.
Yeah, that Raiders defense scares the heck out of me. I mean, they're – we'll see if Max fully healthy. We'll see if Mario Edwards Jr. is fully healthy. We'll see if some of those guys in the secondary can make a difference. I got to see it to believe it. I think the, Smash Mouth Exotic or whatever they call that thing down there is going to go hog wild on Sunday.
We'll see if it's two guys you'd have to think that the former Heisman Derrick Henry does get a bigger role in year two. Mm-hmm. We should quickly mention Obi Melifonwu definitely won't be available, just had knee surgery. And I don't know about the first rounder either. We'll have to wait and see on Garen Conley. So the changes on the Oakland defense may take a little time to materialize. Moving along to some of these other high-profile games, there hasn't been a lot of better rivalries in the NFL in recent seasons than the Seahawks and the Packers. Eric, I know you'll be at Lambeau Sunday. A lot of fun angles to sort of unpack in this one. This could be a preview of the NFC Championship game.
It sure could, and I think it has a good chance to be. I think these will be two of the three best teams in the NFC, maybe the two best overall. As we talked about in the television show we just recorded, one of the best sort of non-division rivalries we've got going these days, even though they've only had one really great game, and that was the playoff know, the 19-7 game that the Packers couldn't hold on and out in Seattle. Fun fact, Seattle hasn't won in Green Bay since 1999. They were in the AFC West back then, and John Kitner was their quarterback. So, you know, could add to the rivalry if Seattle comes in and wins. Sheldon Richardson's on board. How does that crummy offensive line look? You know, where are they going to get their big plays from in the run game, et cetera? So, you know, Eddie Lacy revenge game? I don't know. I can't quite get behind that one.
You know, for all the, you know, Adrian Peterson returns to Minnesota, Eddie Lacy returns to Green Bay. I'm not sure there's quite the allure with either of those guys, just because they may end up being, you know, second, third in the backfield pecking order. It remains to be seen. What about just kind of this Packers secondary? Russell Wilson was trashed at Lambeau last year. It was a bounce back game for Green Bay. They put 40 on Seattle. I think Russell Wilson had 4 or 5 interceptions. Do you think that Packers cornerback room is better right away? You got Kevin King coming in, joining Devon House, probably Demaryius Randall is the third corner. What do you anticipate from them early?
You said right away, I think that's the biggest key, is that, you know, how much can you count on, you know, King and Jones? You know, how good is House? I don't know. Is Randall going to be reliable at all this season after he struggled down the stretch? And where's the pass rush coming from? Is Matthews healthy and Perry ready to be an 11-sack guy again? Can Ahmad Brooks step in and do anything? So, yeah, there's a lot of issues. And you know, Russell Wilson's different now because he's healthy and he can scramble. He's got that element in his game after sort of being forced to be more of a pocket guy last year.
You know, two interesting interdivision NFC East matchups. Eric, I know you are maybe a little bit higher on Philadelphia than some other folks, and I don't think either one of us are very high on Washington, but it could be another big – it's naturally a big opportunity for Kirk Cousins. What do you think about Philly heading into Washington and a lot of changes for both of those clubs on offense, right? New supporting cast for both quarterbacks.
Absolutely, and Cousins got to establish that rapport, which he hasn't to date with Terrell Pryor, Josh Doctson, you know, those kind of guys, and – how do they get something out of the run game, too? Because that's a real concern right now. And I don't know. That worries me. They're real thin on defense up front, too. I mean, I don't know who's going to play nose tackle.
They don't either, Eric.
It's unbelievable. Like, they were counting on Phil Taylor to come back. And the fact that he had a great preseason before getting hurt, the contingency plans there are not good. So I'm worried about that. I think this is going to be a big game for Carson Wentz. Because last year he got just shellacked there. I think he was like 11 out of 25 passing. He got 5 sacks. I mean, just he looked terrible at FedEx Field. I think this game he's going to look a little more poised. Those big plays will be there. The drop passes will be reduced. I don't know. I have a good feeling about Wentz and that offense this year.
Another teaser. Head to Eric Edholm's 2017 NFL predictions at ProFootballWeekly.com. Some end-of-the-year hardware predicted for Carson Wentz.
MVP, baby.
The Eagles, they're going to be really good up front on defense. Unlike Washington, I just think Washington is going to be bad defensively. I really do.
Yep.
But Philadelphia's got a chance to be pretty special with their pass rush and with that front seven. Do you think Ronald Darby helps enough? The safeties are really good. But I've still got some questions at corner.
Yeah, I mean, Rasul Douglas, the third rounder, will sort of, you know, be the guy until Sidney Jones can step in, too, and they get some a little bit of help there. And so Darby's a better fit in this system. Jim Schwartz is going to play man coverage. They're going to rush. But, you know, they've got a front four that can get after the quarterback. They don't need to blitz sort of, you know, recklessly. So I love this group. I think they're going to be a 40-sack team this year. You know, I know Hub is a big fan of Brandon Grant. Well, of course, the Michigan guy. But also the first-round pick, Derek Barnett out of Tennessee.
Yep.
You know, they still have Vinnie Curry. They still have, you know, Tim Jernigan inside could be the breakout star. I think he is perfect for this team.
I like the way that they have guys who maybe have not – fully lived up to expectations in recent years on contract years. Both Tim Jernigan and Alshon Jeffrey,
correct,
both potential monsters that could really change kind
worry
of the
about
look.
The deals down the road, right?
Yeah,
just get the play out of
that's
them.
Going to be a lot of fun to watch. If you guys didn't notice, this is our speed round. We're going to be going through things a little bit more slowly in the future, but this is kind of our quick spin around the league previewing games. We got about seven minutes left. Let's skip right to Monday night. I've already talked about how I think the Vikings really could be pretty good this season.
Mm-hmm.
What jumps out to you outside of Adrian Peterson returning to Minnesota with that Saints-Minnesota matchup?
I can't wait to see Dalvin Cook. You know, and does he provide enough big play splash in that offense that the receivers may not? You know, Stephon Diggs is going to do what he does. We know, you know, the tight end position seems like it's in okay shape, but Sam Bradford's going to just inch his way down the field unless somebody breaks out that we're not sort of seeing here. Maybe Treadwell at some point. I just don't see him as a big play guy.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook, though, can bust out a 40-yard run or a screen or something and make that take that offense to a new dimension. So that's great. I think they'll be a little bit more consistent defensively. They'll be off the field, a little more rest up front. So I like the Vikings in this game. What do you think about the you know, just are they a great team? I don't know.
I think they have an opportunity, a chance to be great. As you said, if the running game is better, if the offensive line is better. We said on the show a couple weeks ago, Sam Bradford just exceeded expectations wildly considering everything that was up against he was up against. Just also with the Vikings, I can't wait to see Daniel Hunter and Trey Waynes now in full-time starting roles.
Right.
Those could be two stars in the making. What about the Saints? I was excited about the way their offseason started, and then it just seems like one injury after the next. I wonder if Dennis Allen is going to have enough pieces to really test this new-look Vikings offensive line and if this defense is going to even reach a level of competence.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at the time, it looked like they were making luxury picks with their two first-rounders, and yet both are going to end up probably playing huge roles early in the season. So they went with value. That was smart, but Ryan Ramczyk has looked sort of out of sorts at times this preseason. When he's been left on an island pass blocking, it hasn't looked pretty.
Mm-hmm.
He's a more advanced run blocker at this stage. So maybe they feature a little more Mark Ingram, Peterson, you know, Alvin Kamara, et cetera. But if not, they're going to tee off on this kid. And it's a big drop off from Teron Armstead and where they were with him. So, yeah, that worries me a little bit. Willie Snead not out there with a suspension. Defensively, they're breaking in some new faces, new starters. You know, it could be Teau in the middle. You know, secondary is looking better in safety, not as good at corner. I don't know, man. I just – the Saints still look like the fourth best team in that division. I mean, good, but not great.
Everson Griffin has made some really good NFL left tackles look really silly.
Yeah.
So it could be a long evening for Ryan Ramczyk. You're right about that. And then lastly, Eric at home, Arthur Rocker's Pro Football Weekly podcast, just wrapping up here with the Chargers and the Broncos. The Chargers are going to be fun. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how good they're going to be in that division. I think they're a potential wild card club, but there's a lot of talent, and I can't wait to see what Anthony Lynn does with it right out of the gate.
You know, there's this sort of group assumption that either they're terrible or they could be like a dark horse Super Bowl candidate. I'm not quite on either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a 5-win team with a slew of injuries, and yet they were in almost every game.
Yep.
They should have won. I know should have, would have, could have, but they could have won 9 games easily last year if they just finished games off and not like the Saints game or, you know, these crazy finishes. So a little more stability, not having this wild rash of injuries. Mike Williams off the pup. He'll play at some point in the first 6 weeks of the season. You know, is Tyrell Williams healthy? We'll see. But they've got some big play options. I think Bosa and Ingram are going to be awesome this year. I kind of like them. I wouldn't be shocked to see them. I think they're going to win this game at Denver.
You do?
Yeah,
wow, there
I do.
You go. That's what I'm looking for. Bosa and Ingram are going to be great together up front. And Verrett and Hayward obviously have a chance to be pretty special if they're healthy on the back end, too. The Chargers are going to be a lot of fun. Let me ask you, am I silly for wondering whether Gus Bradley is going to maximize the personnel he has with his scheme and his potential rigidness?
Yeah, and that's funny you said that. I was actually talking to somebody in Jacksonville not too long ago, talking about how there was always this issue of like forcing one system onto a team that may have been better equipped to run some other schemes. And so that has been an issue in the past. But I think you just stick him on defense. You let those edge rushers get after it. You know, Darius Phylon could be a sort of a breakout guy inside, a lesser known guy, but they've got some talent. And if they are allowed to rush the passer, I don't know who you stop. I don't think you stop Joey Bosa, and maybe Ingram gets hurt or overweight, but I think it'll end up singing pretty well.
Studs at each level. Jatavis Brown had a sneaky good rookie season in the middle of that defense. Desmond King's had a really nice preseason.
Awesome.
He may be able to contribute early. And then let's just wrap it up again, guys. We'll spend a little bit more time with these previews moving forward, kind of on in a bit of a rush today to head over to Hallis Hall for Bears practice. But what about the Broncos? What do you think about Trevor Siemian? He enters the year as the starter, and he's got a whole new offensive line and a whole new run game.
It just seems like a lack of confidence in all three quarterbacks that bring in Brock Osweiler, and just sort of don't know exactly. You know, if there's one guy they seem confident in, it's Osweiler. They bring him back after, you know, sort of an acrimonious divorce there when he left for Houston. But what a wild ride, and just sort of the strangest quarterback situation in the NFL right now. I mean, I don't know what to make of it. But Garrett Bowles at left tackle has struggled in the preseason. Is the run game going to be a good, complete unit? Maybe that ends up being the strength of the team. Who knows? Tight end I don't love. They got two receivers I like, so there are elements there, but will it all come together? That's my biggest issue. And on defense, if Von Miller's not getting to the quarterback, who is?
Right. That, right. Shane Ray down. Yeah. Shaq Barrett was hurt this offseason. DeMarcus Ware retires. Yeah. Great point. And I just kind of dawned on me, we're about to wrap up with the Pro Football Weekly podcast, but the three high-profile rookie tackles, Ramczyk gets Everson Griffin, Garrett Bowles is going to get Melvin Ingram, and Cam Robinson, he'll just get J.J. Watt coming back.
No big deal. He should be fine.
Coming back
because he's looked really good pass blocking. Right?
Holy shnikes. That's going to be fun. Well, guys, we're going to have a lot of fun this season. Week one is here. We hope you enjoy it. This is the Pro Football Weekly Podcast. Head to iTunes and make sure you are subscribed. For Eric, I am Arthur. Looking forward to talking to you again on the PFW Podcast next week. Have a great weekend.
See you.